الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Allah give us tawfiq to learn the beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. A Sahabi whose father was against the deen of Allah, who comes from a noble family of the Quraysh, they were among the most senior, who is very closely related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in spite of his father, his uncle, his siblings being against him, he remained firm and he did what is right. He made the correct decision. He pleased Allah. He put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure first. Allahu Akbar. None other than Abu Hudhayfa. Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is not Hudhayfa bin Yaman, that's another Sahabi. This is Abu Hudhayfa. Let's correct our pronunciation of this Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Abu Hudhayfa. Zal. Not Za. We're wrong. Za. Hudhayfa. No. Abu Hudhayfa bin Utba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His lineage, how does he link to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as far as bloodline? Abu Hudhayfa bin Utba bin Abd Shams. Abd Shams was his grandfather, bin Abd Manaf. Now we all know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from the Abd Manaf family. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd Manaf. And after that we all should know ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murrat ibn Ka'b ibn Luay ibn Ghalib ibn Fihr ibn Malik ibn Nadar ibn Kinanat ibn Khuzaymat ibn Mudrikat ibn Ilyas ibn Nizar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Adnan, and via Adnan he then reaches many forefathers, and he reaches Ismail alayhi salam, then Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and then afterwards with all the lineages, with his lineage, with all his forefathers, via them whom Allah Ta'ala chose, he reaches Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Every one of us should at least remember Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family lineage till Adnan. Allah give us tawfiq. Anyway, that's how close is Hudhayfa, Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abd Manaf had Muttalib, Hashim, Abd Shams. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came via Hashim, and Abu Hudhayfa came from the offspring of Abd Shams. The other was Muttalib and Nawfal. That's why this family is known as Al-Abshami. From Abd Shams, they are known as Al-Abshami. His appellation was Abu Hudhayfa. But with regards to his name, there's differences of opinion. Some reports say his name was Hushaym, or Miqsam, or Hashim, or Hisl. But he is known and famous by his appellation Abu Hudhayfa. Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu embraced Islam in the initial stages, in the early stages of the dawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father being a leader, Utba bin Rabi'a, his father was very, very upset at why did my son embrace Islam. His father, his uncle, Shayba. So Utba and Shayba were brothers. It comes in the reports how Utba and Shayba tried to take Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu away from Islam. Abu Hudhayfa's brother Walid and Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's sister Hind tried very, very hard. They tried every means to take their brother away from Allah, away from the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi rahimahullah profiles this Sahabi radiallahu anhu. In the beginning he uses these words, As-Sayyidul Kabir, As-Shaheed Abu Hudhayfa ابن شيخ الجاهلية عتبة بن ربيعة بن عبد شمس بن عبد مناف. He says the very very senior, the great Sahabi, السيد الكبير, the great سيد, أبو حذيفة رضي الله عنه, الشهيد, the شهيد who died in Allah's cause, أبو حذيفة رضي الله عنه, who is the son of the Shaykh of Jahiliyyah. So he is indicating to the fact that his father was one of the senior members of Quraysh and one of the senior members of the parliament of Quraysh, Darun Nadwa. He was very, very senior. He was respected and revered by all the Meccans. He was in the bracket of Abu Jahl bin Hisham. We all know Abu Jahl. Utbah and Abu Jahl were in the same bracket. But Abu Jahl was more hostile and Utbah was more civil and more diplomatic. So like others, Utbah tried to stop his son and more so tried hard to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By every means, he tried to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his da'wat. We all remember the famous incident of Taif, wherein Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah Mukarramah to go to another town, which is one of the biggest towns in the region, the city of the opulent, the rich. And even the seniors of Makkah, the rich of Makkah, would have properties there as part of their recreation and their relaxation. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to this region to invite to Allah. He was given the worst of treatment. He was chased, he was harmed, he was scoffed at, he was belittled. He was pelted with stones for miles. And after some time, he resorted to a garden. We all remember that garden? That garden had belonged to Utbah and Shayba. And yes, they did show some kindness because of that condition in which they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In spite of them hating Allah's deen and being totally against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they saw the blood emanate from his body. Allahu Akbar. They called Addas. Addas, take this plate of grapes. And Addas takes it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That garden had belonged to Utbah and Shayba. And Addas was sent. The two brothers watched the scene. Allahu Akbar. How Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite every person who came in front of his company. Utbah and Shayba saw this. And let us learn this lesson. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is injured. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wounded. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is heartbroken. What hospitality is the Arabs known for? Are the Arabs known for? And how was he treated? By the elders, by the people on the streets, by the merchants, by the traders. He was harmed from every level of society. From the beginning, from the seniors that he met first. But he went through all of that for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. That's why in his dua, that, O Allah, as long as you are happy with me, I don't mind this condition that I am in. But Allah, you mustn't be happy with me. And he complains, Allah, I am weak. You are the greatest. Ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati. Allah, my strength is weak. Wa qillata hilati. My planning is incomplete, inadequate. Wa hawani ala nas. My reliance on the people. O my Allah, the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Allah, you mustn't be happy with me. إِلَّمْ تَكُنْ سَاخِطًا عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. My Allah, in this condition, as long as you are happy, my Allah, I am happy. Allahu Akbar. And then at the end he says, O my Allah, but I do ask you for afiyah, that you make it easy for me. You give me well-being and give me strength and you give me ease. And then the angel of Allah came to offer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to destroy these people. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave. But this scene, Utbah and Shayba, when they see the blood on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the torture and the harm he went through, they sent Addas before him. Addas comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he presents these grapes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciates it. He takes Allah's name, Bismillah, Bismillah, and he partakes. Allahu Akbar. What we learn?
In every scenario, in every situation we are in, take Allah's name. Never forget Allah and never forget the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says, Adas says, you said something that people here don't say. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, where you come from? He said, I come from Ninawa. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh, you come from the city of my brother. Adas says, what do you mean your brother? He says, Yunus alayhi salam. Allah's Nabi Yunus was there. He is Allah's Nabi, I am Allah's Nabi, we are brothers. Adas was overtaken. He was riveted by this. He started kissing the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's reported he embraced Islam there and then. Utbah and Shaybah got so upset. They thinking, this man never ever kisses our feet. What is he doing here? We sent him once to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his company, and this is what changes here. Look, this is how he changes. Anyway, when he comes back to his master, Utbah and Shaybah, they get very, very upset. So he says to them, oh my masters, this man is the best of Allah's creation. He is Allah's Nabi. He is Allah's Nabi. Allahu Akbar. What we learn? A servant comes before Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that servant gets hidayat. Let us start with those working for us. How many people we have working in our businesses, in our homes? Invite them to Allah. Show them character. Share with them. Show them akhlaq. Teach them one practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will embrace Islam. They will come to Allah's deen. On one occasion, the mushrikeen were planning to come against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's message. So who did they send on their behalf? They sent none other than Utbah bin Rabi'ah. He was their diplomat. He was known for his choice of words. He was known for his way of presenting his message. He comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what have you done to your people? Now he tries to work on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's emotions. Yabna akhi, oh my nephew, qad atayta qawmaka bi amrin azim. You have done something very, very grave to your people. You have split them. Farraqta bihi jama'atahum. You have split your community. And you have brought down their ways and their thinking. And you have belittled them. Mind you, my respected listeners, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't belittle the people. That was not his way. What he used to do was attribute every greatness to Allah, attribute oneness to Allah, and he would negate everything besides Allah. That Allah is the greatest, Allah has to be worshipped, allegiance to Allah, loyalty to Allah, submission to Allah alone, nothing to idols and to creation. In this was the message that they took from there. Not that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went deriding people and belittling them. No, that was not his way of da'wat. But anyway, this was how Utbah was trying to work on Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's emotions. And then he says, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have to speak to you. You know, I have come with a great offer for you. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu al-Walid, say what you have, I am listening to you. So we learn from here, listen to people, what they have to say, hear them out. This is a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want money for this da'wat that you come with, إِن كُنْتَتْ إِنَّمَا تُرِيدُ بِهِ مِنْ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ مَالًا جَمَعْنَا لَكَ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ مَا تَشَاءُ. If you want money for this da'wat, to stop this da'wat, how much money you want, we will accumulate and you will become the richest of us. Name what you want. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ شَرَفًا سَوَّدْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا. If you want nobility, honor, position, prestige, we will make you our chief and commander. حَتَّى لَا نَقْطَعَ أَمْرًا دُونَكَ. We will not make a move without your command. That's what a leader will make you. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ مُلْكًا مَلَّكْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا. And if you want kingdom, we will make you our king. And if you feel you are sick, and this is evil spirits that are coming to you, and you feel you cannot resist this, and you cannot repel these spirits, we will go through every means, and arrange every physician and doctor, and we will spend all our money to get you free from this ailment that you are suffering. And if you feel this is jinn, we will come and try our best to get you out of this challenge that you are facing. Now imagine, my respected listeners, this man is insulting the greatest of Allah's creation. If you feel you are sick, we will get you cured. We'll call doctors for you. If you feel this is jinn, we'll do this for you. If you want kingdom, if you want wealth, if you want position, the other reports, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was offered the best of women. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. In how many reports? Allahu Akbar. In the other report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the other report to the other Meccans in the early stages, he says, even if you have to give me the sun in my right, لو أعطيتموني الشمس في يميني والقمر في يساري, and the moon in my left, just for me to leave da'wah to Allah, I can never ever do it. I can never ever stop inviting to Allah. In this report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Utbah, have you completed, O Abu al-Walid? He says, yes, yes. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now it's my turn. You listen to me. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his da'wat to Utbah. Now Utbah is sent on behalf of all the Meccans to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to convince him to leave this da'wat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Allah. And in the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the opening verses of Surah Hamim al-Sajdah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his da'wat used to read a lot of Quran in his da'wat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on reciting. This had such an impact on Utbah. He was shocked until the verse of Quran came that Allah says, if you turn away, then Allah's punishment will come as it came upon Ad and the previous nations, Thamud. He was shocked. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped, Utbah gets up. He returns to the delegates that sent him. And they saw his expression that was completely different. And they said, what happened, Utbah? What happened? He said, don't interfere with this man. What he's saying is true. He saw the truth in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what they did was, they convinced him otherwise, that you can't accept because you are our senior. You have such a position. His effect from the da'wat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so apparent that they actually said, لَقَدْ رَجَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ أَبُو الْوَلِيدِ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبَ بِهِ. Abu al-Walid has come back with a completely different face, meaning with a completely different expression. This is how he was affected by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's da'wat and invitation. Interestingly, in the surah of the Quran, Hamim al-Sajda, which is surah number 41, from verses number 30, Allah Ta'ala very, very beautifully explains to us as believers that how should we have, what etiquette should we have as inviters to Allah. Because every Muslim, every believer is an inviter to Allah. To share some of these etiquettes with you, my respected listeners, from verse 30, Allah Ta'ala says, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Verily those who say that our Lord is Allah and they remain on this with firm conviction, firm istiqama, they remain on this with firmness, they remain on this belief with istiqamah. Allah Ta'ala sends His malaika upon them. The malaika descend upon them to say to them, fear not, nor should you grieve, and rejoice and be happy with the paradise that you are promised, that Allah Ta'ala will give you. Then the verse says, we are your guardians, your protectors in this worldly life and in the hereafter. And for you, by Allah, is whatever you wish and feel for, and whatever you ask for. And this is hospitality from the side of Ghafoorur Rahim, the most forgiving and the most merciful.
Now, when we read this verse, the question comes about that istiqamah, to remain firm on iman in this world, so we can leave this world with iman. How are we going to do that? And look how beautiful is Quran. Hazrat Mufti Dal Haq Sahib Damat Barakatuhum explained so beautifully. A question that comes about in one verse is answered in the next verse. The solution comes in the next verse. So to say, the next verse is answering this, that how will we be able to die with iman and leave this world with firm istiqamah, with conviction. What does verse number 33 say? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala asks, and who can be better? Who is better in speech than he who invites to Allah? And he does good deeds. And he says, I am from the believers. I am just one of the believers. I am from the big ummah, the ummah of Islam. I am from the believers. So this verse is saying that no one is better than the da'i to Allah, than the inviter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is information, a khabar. But this is a challenge. Allah is saying, who can be better than the one who invites to Allah ta'ala? So what we learn? If we want to be able to live in this world with firm conviction and leave this world with iman, we have to invite to Allah ta'ala. That's the link between these two verses. When we're going to invite, Allah Ta'ala will keep us strong. Allah will keep us firm on iman. So these are the qualities we need as da'is. We have to invite to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, and do good deeds. We can't just invite and not do ourselves. We have to do and practice ourselves. And then also, innani minal muslimin. It doesn't mean we're inviting others, we are better than them. We should be humble and say, we are from the believers. We are not better than anybody. Others are better than us. These are qualities. Another quality we learn, in these verses, so the next verse, which is verse number 34, Allah Ta'ala says, this verse is speaking in character. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Good traits and evil traits can never be the same. Allah Ta'ala says, defend yourself in the best manner. Allahu Akbar. Idfa, to push, to defend yourself against someone's harm. So to say, the verse is saying, if someone's going to push you, you have to push him back in such a way that he won't push you again. So Quran is teaching us how to do that. If he pushes you and you push him, he'll definitely push you harder. So Quran is saying, repel him in such a way which is most beautiful, ahsan. To such an extent that Allah will create such love between you and him. The same person who you had hostility towards, or he had hostility towards you, بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. Between you and him was hostility. And sometimes, even towards Allah's deen, he had animosity. Allah will make it through your character. It will be such, you will see, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. It will be as though he is your bosom, close buddy and friend. So Quran is teaching us that when a person is harsh, when a person insults you, when a person is harmful, obey Allah and treat him with character. Make his ikram. Buy for him tea. Buy for him fruit. Show him that Muslims are not hostile. Show him Muslims have character. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. No one receives this quality of inviting to Allah with character just so easily. You have to have patience, صَبَرُوا. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And if you receive this quality from Allah Ta'ala, you are very, very fortunate. ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And we see this in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, how Abu al-Walid Utbah is insulting Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam hears him out. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shows character. And this is how he warned humanity to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Actually, we should study these verses as more qualities. And the next verse even speaks of how shaitan injects into a person. And the link there is that when a person is just making ibadah, which is very, very important, but it doesn't affect the devil so much, like when a person is inviting to Allah Ta'ala. So we have to do both. When a person is inviting, the devil can't tolerate this because people are changing and others are being influenced. So shaitan will inject into this person. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ. So Allah says, when shaitan injects into you to stop you from inviting and from worshipping Allah, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek Allah's protection and do not listen to shaitan. by saying, okay, I will not invite them. No, invite them to Allah, because Allah is hearing your condition and Allah knows your condition, what you're going through, for His sake. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. And the verse then carries on. So we learn this from the beautiful life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His life was practically these verses, how he invited to Allah ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq.
So we see what Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu had to go through, being from such a family, with everyone being against him. But alhamdulillah, he had his wife who supported him throughout. She embraced Islam also in the initial stages, and herself and her husband together stood firm on Allah's deen despite all the challenges and the oppositions being against them. His wife was none other than Sahla bint Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu anha. The famous Suhail ibn Amr, who was the khatib, the lecturer on behalf of Quraysh. The man who would lecture in the parliament of Quraysh, he was known for his eloquence. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite to Allah's deen, he would stand up firm against Allah's deen. And he would lecture to all the pilgrims coming into Makkah. And he would utilize his expertise in distancing people from Allah's deen. That's why after the battle of Badr, when he was taken captive, Umar radiallahu anhu asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission. O Nabi of Allah, allow me to uproot his front teeth so he will never take a stance against Allah's deen again. Allahu Akbar. Because how many times he stood up to speak against Allah's deen, to falsely speak against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give Umar radiallahu anhu that permission. O Umar, what if Allah ta'ala shows you from that same mouth of Suhail one day such words that will please you? Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him such dua. The same Suhail ibn Amr, he came to dialogue. He came to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on behalf of the Quraysh during Sulhul Hudaybiyah. That Allah Ta'ala then gave him hidayah, and during Fath Makkah he embraced Islam. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood firm in Medina Munawwara and kept the Sahaba radiallahu anhum strong, and in Makkah Mukarramah, who was there to keep the Ummah strong? Because Sahaba radiallahu anhum were hurt and heartbroken on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this transitory world. It was Suhail ibn Amr radiallahu anhu who stood firm in Makkah Mukarramah. So his daughter was Sahla. She embraced Islam in the initial stages. So what we learn from here, that people come to deen and they make great, great sacrifice. And this is what we should share with our new Muslim brothers and sisters, that they should remain firm. Allah Ta'ala will bless them. Allah Ta'ala will open their way, but they have to remain firm like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That's why even for our new Muslim brothers and sisters, if you know any of them, encourage them to read the Fada'ilul A'mal. Like you say, Fada'ilul A'mal, the Fada'ilul A'mal, especially all the chapters, and the first chapter is about Sahaba radiallahu anhum's great sacrifices. What would happen is when they see what sacrifices Sahaba made, they would also be able to remain firm and become inspired. And you and I need the same, my respected listeners. There was another very young Sahabi whose name was Salim radiallahu anhu, whose father was not known. So Abu Hudhayfa, having a soft heart, and Salim being a Muslim, Abu Hudhayfa adopted Salim and took him to be his own son. Now this was also something very grave that he did. It seemed to be against his father, because you're taking a child whose father is not even known. We don't even know his upbringing. Now you want to make him your son. And the way of Quraysh was, if you adopted one child, you gave the child your own name. So he was then called Salim ibn Abi Hudhayfa, the son of Abu Hudhayfa. Anyway, then he was welcomed in the family. But now, from having no background, or not even knowing your father, now you attributed to such a noble family from the Quraysh. It was a big step. And Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu did it for Allah Ta'ala's deen. Then it was the advent of Islam that then abolished adoption in a manner that you change the child's name. So then he was called Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, the Mawla, the freed slave of Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. But they were always like father and son, and they treated each other like brothers. They were very, very close. So they made sacrifices together. And Salim used to sit so much with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn. He was one of the greatest scholars of the Quran Kareem. And he used to even teach Abu Hudhayfa and teach the Quran Kareem throughout his life. Salim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then the time of Hijrah came. And Muslims were being tortured so much. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, لو خرجتم إلى أرض الحبشة فإن بها ملكا لا يظلم عنده أحد. You should go to the lands of Habasha, Abyssinia. There's such a king there who no one is dealt with unjustly in his presence. And it's a true land. وهي أرض صدق حتى يجعل الله لكم فرجا مما أنتم فيه. And Allah will open your way. Allah will open your way and make it easy for you in the condition that you are facing. Allah Ta'ala, through these words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give hidayah to the people of Abyssinia even today. Allah Ta'ala make it such. Anyway, it was the first hijrah, and Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu with his wife Sahla radiallahu anha, because of the adversities, because of the difficulties, they made hijrah. Just I must mention, we learned about Arqam radiallahu anhu. Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and Salim radiallahu anhu embraced Islam even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the markaz and the madrasa in Darul Arqam. So that they were Muslims in the initial stages. Then the Muslims from Abyssinia returned to Makkah for some reasons that they heard that Islam is spreading in Makkah, but it wasn't true. Just the people fell into sajda on hearing the verses of Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So rumors spread that, you know, Islam had spread, but they hadn't yet embraced Islam. But then they were still being tortured and they were being punished, and the Meccans were unleashing their wrath upon the Muslims even more, because now Muslims are going somewhere else to get justice, and this would tarnish the reputation of Quraysh. So then they migrated the second time, and that time also Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu migrated to Abyssinia. And then he returned after that because of his yearning for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, not yearning for his father, but yearning for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then hijrah takes place, and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum migrate, and when they make hijrah in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathers Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he speaks of brotherhood. He spoke of unity. He spoke of being one ummah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara spoke of the entire ummah being of one body. If any limb on that body is in pain, the entire body feels it. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Abu Talha radiallahu anhu's home, and he did a pact of brotherhood, al-mu'akhah, as it's called. One Sahabi from Medina Munawwara, the other Sahabi from Makkah Mukarrama, and they were made brothers by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who was made the brother of Abu Hudhayfa bin Utbah radiallahu anhu from Medina? None other than Abbad ibn Bishr radiallahu anhu. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. Great Sahabi, Allahu Akbar. Allah give us tawfiq. Name our children with these names, Hudhayfa and Abbad. Abbad, the great worshipper, the one who worships Allah with fervor and love and abundance. Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu. And they were together throughout. They were very, very close. They worked together and they did not degrade each other. They made ikram of each other. And this was what the purpose of the mu'akha was, to make us realize that my Muslim brother is my brother. I must never look down upon him because of the country he comes from, because of the color of his skin, because of his background. No, he is my brother. When I'm looking into him, I'm looking at my own mirror. I'm looking at myself. So even if I want to correct something, I must do it politely, lovingly, sweetly, kindly. And we work on uplifting each other, enhancing each other's life. This is what Islam is all about, my respected listeners. Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu participated in all the expeditions from the beginning. He went with Hamza radiallahu anhu to Siful Bahr. He went with Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu anhu to Nakhla. I'm just giving you references. You can refer to these entire incidents. But he was part and parcel. He went with Abu Salama ibn Abdul Asad al-Makhzumi radiallahu anhu to the Banu Asad tribe. Wherever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending, Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was moving and striving in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Around there happened the great event of Badr. Badr took place, Allahu Akbar. Now Badr was what a test for Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. There's reports that Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu now sees that his father's on the other side. His father was Utbah. Now Utbah was among the main mushrikeen of Quraysh, who was the leader of Quraysh. But what happened before that was, Utbah was coming. And remember, Addas, who had embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through one meeting. Allahu Akbar. How many people you brought to deen, or I brought to deen in one meeting? Allah give us tawfiq. Now Addas went to beg Utbah as Utbah was leaving Makkah on the occasion of Badr, he begged him, he grabbed his feet, he says, "Master, don't go with them. The man you're going to fight is the man of Allah." He begged him and he cried. Adas didn't go, but he tried to stop Utbah. So Utbah, you know, he used his sense more than Abu Jahl. There came a point in Badr where on the way, as the mushrikeen were traveling towards Badr, there was a discussion that why are we fighting these people who are our family? Why are we every time picking up battles against them just because they left our lands and they're spreading Islam? They got their own choice. They changed their lives. Why must we be hostile towards them all the time? This discussion came about. And they realized the only man to stand up for the truth was Utbah. So they said to Utbah. Then what was happening was, there was a man who was killed, Amr ibn al-Hadrami. His brother was the Amir. So it was all, they made a huge hue that we have to stand up and avenge the blood of Amr bin Hadrami. And Amir was there. So Utbah said, "I'll give the 100 camels, but let's not fight." And he addressed Quraysh. He says, "Let's go back. Why are we fighting these people? What's the reason? Let's live peacefully." Now Abu Jahl couldn't bear this. He didn't want to see Muslims live or exist. So he used his sinister plan. He says, "Oh, Utbah, you gone scared. You know these Muslims are very, very weak, and it's going to be like a braai for us. Like we going to be eating just camel meat, and we're going to be enjoying it. We're going to eat them. We're going to devour them. And you worried that your son Abu Hudhayfa is amongst them. That's why you're a coward." And he addressed Utbah in such a way that Utbah failed his test. Every person goes through a test. He couldn't bear the insult. Allah Ta'ala will bring people to deen. Allah will make the deen available to them. But a person has to pass that test. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. That's why Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Fatima radiallahu anha, "Every day I ask Allah, Fatima. Every day I ask Allah, Fatima radiallahu anha, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith, aslih li sha'ni kulla wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn." Allah, you ever living. Allah, you the controller of the entire universe. Allah, you take care of my every affair and don't leave me to myself, even though it may be for a blink of an eyelid, my Allah. Don't leave me even for a moment on my own, otherwise I'll definitely fall. Now Utbah couldn't bear the insult that you say I am scared and you say I don't want to fight just because of my son. And now he had to prove Abu Jahl wrong. Now see what happens with peer pressure and so forth and so forth. That's why we have to be connected to taqwa. Let's stop when we insulted and think, what does my Allah want from me? What does my Allah expect me? What will please my Allah? This is what we... Just the other day, there were a lot of Hindus who had gathered, so they told me, "Come share words." And Allah gave me tawfiq to share these words. I said, let's see how many times... In a beautiful manner, I just spoke on Allah's greatness, and Allah being one, and Allah is the creator, and the same Allah made everyone, and the same Allah made everything, and Allah takes care of the child in the fetus of the mother. How this child comes out perfectly, where all of this comes from. That same da'wat of Allah's greatness. And then Allah put this for me to share, that so much we consider what people have to say. When are we going to start considering what my Allah has to say? What my Allah has to say? So now, Utbah had to prove himself. That's why Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw the mushrikeen at Badr, he said, if any of them have some intellect, it would be the man of the red camel. It was actually Utbah. But then Utbah, because of his pride and arrogance and haughtiness, he had to prove Abu Jahl wrong, and Abu Jahl pressed the buttons exactly where he wanted. So now Utbah has to prove himself. So when the Muslims meet the mushrikeen at Badr, the mushrikeen come forth. And who comes forth on their behalf? Utbah, Shayba, and Walid. Walid is the son of Utbah. Shayba is the brother of Utbah. And they come and they want to combat with the Muslims. There's reports that say Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu actually came forth to fight his own father. Allahu Akbar, Allah. Imagine his own father who brought him in this world, but because his father was against the deen of Allah, Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was prepared for this sacrifice also. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah mentions that he actually went forth to combat his father, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him, that no, this is too much, let someone else do this. And then Hamza, Ali, and Ubaidah bin Harith radiallahu anhum went forth and they conquered and they defeated the three of the mushrikeen. So Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu sees his father, his uncle, and his brother pass away. And it was actually very, very hurtful And later on, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the hurt on his face. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّكَ دَخَلَكَ مِنْ شَأْنِ أَبِيكَ شَيْءٍ. Is it hurting you in regards to your father? He says, O Nabi of Allah, I promise you by Allah, I'm not doubting my deen. But O Nabi of Allah, I always felt my father was an intelligent man and he has virtue, and I thought that would bring him to Allah's deen. But I see how he died. It saddens me that he died without iman. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and gave him words of encouragement, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there for his sahaba radiallahu anhum throughout. And there's one incident where Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu felt bad also, but then he realized, you know, he shouldn't have reacted in that way, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right. It was where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you see Abu al-Bakhtari, and if you see some of the Banu Hashim like Abbas radiallahu anhu, do not fight against them or kill them, because they were forcefully brought out. It's not that they wanted to come out. So Abu Hudhayfa felt like, my father was killed and why should others be left? And because of this, he felt so bad, and all his life he kept on giving, you know, charity to atone this mistake of this one utterance, that I shouldn't have said such a thing. And he said, I kept on fearing, Allah, don't take away iman from me. وَلَا أَزَالُ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. I kept on fearing, and I felt the only way to atone for this mistaken statement I made, that why my father had to be killed. And imagine what he went through also, just to understand what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the sacrifices and the challenges they went through. He sees his brother, he sees his uncle, he sees his father slain right in front of him. So it was very, very hurtful. Allah, Allah, Allah. But he says, I realized it's shahada that will atone for my mistake. Illa an tukaffiruni anni shahada. And he kept on serving Allah's deen. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, he remained firm. It was the occasion of Fath Makkah, when many were embracing Islam. Abu Hudhayfa went to meet his sisters Fatima and Hind, the daughters of Utbah, and he convinced them, and he explained to them, and he answered their questions. And the same Hind who spent her life hostile towards Allah's deen, the same Hind who actually rendered poetry rebuking her brother, that how could you even attempt to stand up to fight against your father, she sang poetry in this regard, but she didn't realize that her father was wrong, but her brother was right, and her brother had to stand up for Allah's deen, and that was the level of his iman. But he brought his sisters to Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomed them and accepted their shahada. And Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu lived his life serving Allah's deen. And in the time, the reign of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he strove in the path of Allah ta'ala against the Murtaddeen. And the Murtaddeen were in this one battle of Yamama against Musaylimatul Kadhab, who falsely claimed prophethood, na'udhu billah. And in this expedition, under Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's khilafah, the Sahabi Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu strove in the path of Allah ta'ala. And then Zayd bin Khattab radiallahu anhu became shaheed, and the banner fell from his hand. Umar radiallahu anhu's brother Zayd ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when the banner fell, Abu Hudhayfa, you know, charged towards that banner and raised it and encouraged the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the battle of Yamama, saying, Ya Ahl al-Quran, Zayyinu al-Quran bil-fi'al. Ay Quran walo, O people of Quran, O Ummat of Quran, beautify the Quran with your actions. Stand up for Quran now. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu made that famous cry of his, Wa Muhammada, Wa Muhammada. He asked Allah through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alhamdulillah, the Muslims conquered and defeated the Murtaddeen, because it was a very, very fierce battle, dangerous. And in this battle, Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, at the age of 53, Allahu Akbar, he breathed his last. And also near him was the man he loved very much. On the one side was Salim, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, who also became shaheed. And on the other side, his brother, whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam combined with him, Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhum, all passed away near each other. Allahu Akbar. And they really stood for Quran and served Quran and beautified the Quran with their action. Allah give us tawfiq and give us some barakat, a glimpse of the mizaj and the fikr and the worry and the concern and the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.